was lovely.
It's the Two Johnnies Podcast.
The Two Johnnies Podcast.
Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I'm Johnny B.
And I'm Johnny Smacks. Lads and ladies, you are welcome to Podcast 39, coming to you from the ostentatious and palatial Two Johnnies HQ in Kerry, County Tipperary.
And as you can tell, Maura's back.
On this week's podcast, we are discussing what constitutes a good friendship and a bad friendship.
If a major event happened in the parish, South America or Russian, you can be sure Noel Furlong will know all about it and bring it to the attention of your lovely podcast listeners. He'll be here with the news.
She's recovered from her goujon poisoning. Maureen is back with her mystery topic.
And we bring you the interview with the sound and extremely handsome Brezzy. Maura wrote this. Here. So it's the Blizzard's live interview from the Sugar Club.
And we finish things off on the podcast like we always do with our yurts and dirts of the week.
Yurt and dirt.
Before commencing with proceedings, matters arising from last week's podcast, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Kate was onto us on Snapchat. She said, "Well, Johnny B, how's it going? Gutted I missed your gig in Charleville. I was on holidays." That's no excuse, Kate. "Just thought I would let you know that I heard there was over 900 calls to the guards on Halloween night in Dublin, with fireworks and bonfires going out of control. They're crazy in Dublin." Yeah, we were talking about Halloween and we liked the idea of bonfires and fireworks, but that's a bit much.
She said, "Well, Johnny B, how's it going?" Am I fucking dead to her or what? Thanks, Kate.
I suppose she personally snapped me.
I suppose so. That's morbid.
Aye, aye.
Aye, aye. Jen Murphy on Snapchat. "I was on a Ryanair flight to Lanzarote and the air hostess comes down to see if I'm okay. Yeah," I said, "I'm just in hysterics listening to the Two Johnnies podcast. Hashtag get loose."
Get loose.
Nevins on Insta was also on to us, just listening to the podcast and listening about the obesity problem, and thought I'd tell you that I got a bad injury last October. During the period of sitting on the sideline and the stress of injury, I went from 65kg to 81kg, even though I usually eat healthy. Every time my injury came back, I would stress eat, but it's tough being on a diet when seriously injured. Love the podcast. Best of luck, lad, in recovering from your injury. And if it's stressing you out, no harm in talking to a sports psychologist."
Anto on Snapchat. "Well, lad, listening to last week's podcast about obesity, I was in the same boat, always a big lad. I'm 6'5" and was 2 pounds off 23 stone. Thought I was the top dog going around. Never thought I was as big as I was until the girlfriend broke up with me and the sister said, to win her back, I need to cop on and lose the weight. Exactly what I done. Lost 6 stone. Jesus. Roughly around 16 stone now. Back playing ball and the whole lot. Got the girlfriend back as well.
Woo.
Tough love is the answer. And he's got tickets for the Christmas party as well. Go on, you boy, Anto."
Ian Fitz K Magic on the gram. "How are you? Enjoying the podcast. This week's reminded me when I was younger going to my granny's. I was lactose intolerant, so when I called over, she always went mad that she couldn't fill me up with chocolate. Got so bad, she ended up just giving me the sugar jar and a tablespoon and let me go to town on it for the afternoon. Still no idea how I didn't get diabetes." Man. Grannies, but they're a different gravy, aren't they?
Nanjinglu is on fire. She was onto us on Snapchat saying, "In regards to last week's mystery topic, long story short, a boyfriend bought me a really nice television once, not long after, and late one night, I left a tea light candle on top of it while I was in another room. Fire alarm went off and I went back into the living room to see flames coming out of the top of the telly and melted plastic running down the front of it. I bet out the fire and then did what all girls do when things go wrong. I cried and rang the boyfriend, who got out of his bed in Galbally and drove into Limerick to console me. And he stuck with me for a few years, surprisingly."
Who puts a tea candle on top of television?
People do that.
Oh, lad, that's dangerous.
You can't be at that.
Oh, that's not on. Dara on Instagram said, "On the subject of Christmas presents, when I was 6, my mother and father got me a wheelbarrow as a present because we needed one for doing work outside. They didn't wrap it because it was a bit too big, but I'm sure it's still being used today." God, Dara, you should have rang Childline. That's horrendous. A wheelbarrow.
I once got my father a wheelbarrow for Christmas.
I'm surprised you bought, man, anyway, in the first place.
Steve on Twitter said, "Lads, if you decide to get each other Christmas presents, you should open them on the podcast. It'd be great to hear the sound of disappointment in Smax's voice when he opens Johnny B's present."
That is going to, that's going to happen. We're going to do
Chris Kindle. Yeah.
From Rachel on the gram, "Hey, in response to Lauren's mystery topic, here's a story that might be worthy for a mug. So I was going out with a guy for a long while. It was like 4th Christmas together. We were both in college and hadn't a bob, so decided to put a €35 limit on it. One day anyway, I was at his house and he was like, did you check under the bed? Your present is there. I was like, what? Looked under the bed and there was a massive cardboard box. I was giving out because he definitely went over the €35 limit. I asked him and he was like, yeah, I did, but not too much. So panic was on then. I told my parents and my dad threw me an extra few bob. So I went out and spent, I'd say, the guts of 70, 80 quid. Anyway, a week before Christmas, I was walking into his house and his neighbour was coming out the door against me with my present. And she looked at me and started laughing. She was like, oh, you thought this was for you? It was my daughter's bike from Santa. Your man got me one of them teddy bears you put in the microwave and smells nice. So yeah, needless to say, I despise surprises. Them teddy bears that smell nice.
Oh, that's trickery.
She thought she was getting a bike. That's very disappointing.
Mountain bike. Jono on Insta said, Good Vibrations is a great film. We were talking about the best Irish films ever. It's set in Belfast during the Troubles. It's about Terry Hooley, what a name, who discovered the Undertones. Hilarious too. The Guard is a great film too. A lot of people onto us about The Guard, Johnny.
I didn't like it. I genuinely didn't like it. But yeah, I don't know why. Like, I'm not against anyone in it or anything like that. Like, it didn't do it for me. It didn't captivate me now in the same way that others did. So.
Okay, and another one worth to mention, I Went Down with Brendan Gleeson. A lot of people talking about that too. Some Mother Son about the hunger strikes. Very hard to nail that down. Yeah, the other one we got mentioned was, is it Fatal Deviation?
Oh, yeah.
The one with Mikey Graham. It's like made on a camera phone like 20 years ago. It's on YouTube and fairly hilarious, lads.
Graham Garrity, the Mead footballer, is actually in it as well.
No, is he?
Yeah.
We'll have to have a look at that on YouTube. All right, so who gets the Noel's News mug, kindly sponsored by HairyBaby.com, where you can buy loads and loads of Two Johnny's merchandise, and there'll be new Two Johnny's merchandise available on HairyBaby.com in the very, very near future. Who's going to get the mug, lads and ladies?
I think the wheelbarrow lad.
Yeah, the wheelbarrow. He deserves it, in all fairness. Yeah. Getting a wheelbarrow. All right, so that's Dara. Maura, you'll be in touch with him as regards the mug, and he'll be drinking his tea or coffee from a nice Noel's News mug. All right, the weekly roundup. What's been going on in Two Johnny's Land this week? We released an extra few tickets for the gig in Whelan's, which was sold out, the production tickets. They sold out in 15 minutes, so they're gone as well. That show is completely rammed and jammed.
Thank you very much. And this week, I made soup on Snapchat, right? And I'm going to tell you one thing, Johnny Smacks. I didn't appreciate your negative waves about my soup.
Bit American. Bit American-like.
So if any of you are following us on social media, I had me soup story. See, I got a new app for editing film. And I was making soup at the time. And I was like, well, I'll film this and I'll try out the new app. It's fairly zingy, lad.
Cool, yeah.
I got a lot of positive responses. And two lads sent me a video. They were on the Lash in Edinburgh. And they reenacted my entire minute and a half soup making video down the phone to me. Okay, I just putting that out there now. Okay?
I think you're just channeling the two boys.
Happy pair
too much. Yeah, I think you've really got into character since that day we dressed up as them. No. Now you're launching. You're going to be launching a line of soup soon. You'll get rid of me, lad, for Donald skiing now on these days. Two of you be going around wearing weird woolly hats and cooking and stuff. But fair play. Yeah, nice.
I still have some of the soup left.
Yeah. Surely gone off, man. You made that.
I froze it.
All right. Sure, waste not, want not anyway with you, yeah. Also, the video of our live podcast is now on YouTube. You've got to be over 18 to watch it, obviously, as this podcast is for over 18s. But the live video is up there now, the one with Paul Collins from the second night in the Sugar Club.
But the children's show
is
going on sale Wednesday the 14th. That's in a couple of days' time. So all the kids are onto us. Oh, we're going to come to your show, but the shows have been over 16 or over 18. So this is a kiddie show designed for the children in your life.
Yeah.
And if you're out there and you have kids who like the Two Johnnies, like, if you don't buy them tickets, it just means you don't love them.
Yeah. You don't love your kids. So if it's your sister or your niece or nephew or your own kid,
yeah,
you know, show them love by buying them a Two Johnnies kids show ticket.
Yeah. Every time you don't buy them a ticket, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, exactly. So the tickets are going on sale Wednesday the 14th from Ticketmaster at 9 a.m. The shows are in the Dunmore Theatre in Wexford. They're in the Premier Hall in Turles in County Tipperary. And of course they are in the Royal Theatre in Castlebar in County Mayo. So, you know, the three corners of Ireland. For that reason, we couldn't go up the north. No, I'm joking. But those are the three venues. They're the only kids shows in 2019. You will not get another chance for kids, little youngsters, little toddlers to come.
All right. And this week we have Maura back.
Yay.
Um, And she told us before we went there that she did not listen to the podcast when she wasn't on it.
Yeah. No, well, like, okay, I listened to a little bit of it and then it's like, oh, they're having fun without me. I was like, and the way I kind of put it to you, it's like listening to your boyfriend riding somebody else. You're just, you
know. Maura, it's good to have you back anyway. We were meant to record this 2 hours ago and we were just laughing and having a crack, so we're running out of time here now. All right, topic number one. Topic number one this week is friends. Ah, friends. Podcast friends. Ooh, friend. So Albert Hubbard once said, a friend is someone who knows all about you and still loves you. According to research published in the journal Personal Relationships last year, friends become increasingly important to health and happiness as people age. The study also found that it wasn't just important to have friends, but that the quality of these friendships also mattered. With this in mind, we've decided to discuss what makes a good friend. And who better to talk about it than the three of us?
Hey! So we've been talking about this. Friendship. Mm-hmm. Basically, I think it's somebody you can call on when you're stuck.
That's all, is it?
Yeah.
Someone you're stuck.
Well, if you need a bit of advice, like, or something. Say if something bad happens to you. Mm. You don't want to be ringing. Not just one of the lads you're going out with. So it's like, oh, lad, you know, I like, you know, the wife left me now and she took the kids and now I can't pay the mortgage and all. Oh, jeez, what do I do? And then your mate's like, yeah, well, like, do you want to come out the weekend, like?
Yeah. It's the answer to everything, like.
Yeah, we're going playing darts, like, you know?
I've split up with my long-term girlfriend. Should we go for a few pints, though, will we, I suppose? I don't know. I suppose a friend is someone you trust, someone you like to be around, and someone who genuinely cares for your best interests, and someone who probably have your back, you know what I mean? If things came to it, you want someone to be...
Or to hop in, like...
Well, yeah, if it came to physicalities, man, you'd want someone there, yeah.
Is this the Carrick and Sure approach of, I'll fight you, won't we, lads?
I mean, I guess there's a difference between a friend and a drinking buddy, Johnny. A drinking buddy is just someone you have a chat with, socialise with, share a pint with. You'd be sharing a pint with him now. You wouldn't be sharing your problems, like, you wouldn't be breaking down to fill it. Although that does happen as well, yeah. Happen. You'd be chatting to a randomer, just going like, she left me, and like, I don't know what to do.
That's the different types of friends.
Yeah.
We're talking about this, that you have like your close friends now. And then you have, you know, people you might work with or people like for us you play GA with. And I like the transition period. How do you say it to like some lad you're playing hurling with, like, well, like, do you want to hang around after training? Like, do you want to be my friend?
It is that weird thing. But close friends, I think, like, will do anything with you, like. You know, they'll do anything for you. Like, if you call them in the middle of the night, I think they're the ones who'll bail you out. I mean, Johnny, you got a phone call. It actually wasn't from me.
Oh, yeah.
But it was as regards me. Do you want to tell people about that?
We were living together. And Smacks was on holiday in, where were we, Santa Ponsa?
Santa Ponsa, kid.
And I was, in the middle of the night, I got this phone call. And these people were like, your friend is in hospital. I was like, oh, fuck. Is that Smacks's phone, like?
Yeah.
Your friend is in hospital. You fell down the stairs or something, did you?
Yeah, fell down a flight of stairs in Santa Ponsa. Fell down on 70 steps.
And like, 70 steps, lad.
No, honestly, man. And like all I had was like, I got like 4 stitches over my eyebrow, which is remarkable. But for some reason, like, you weren't on the holiday with me. And like I was passed out and there was like an ambulance parked up and flashing lights and a big crowd around me. And then I had my phone and someone's like, do you want me to ring someone? I was like, ring Johnny B. Ring Johnny B. And like, instead of ringing any of the 6 boys I was on holidays with, yeah, who possibly could have came and got me, I rang a man who was a few thousand miles away at home in bed in Ireland.
It's the thought that counts, lad.
Yeah, yeah. You done amazing for me anyway, didn't you?
I told him, ring Teddy.
Great man, why wasn't he?
And then when Johnny woke up in the hospital, the armband that should say his name on it said Teddy.
I was obviously trying to get him to ring Teddy and they were just like, oh, his name must be Teddy.
Yeah, it's I won't give away Teddy's name. But if you start hanging out with lads off a team or in work, then like, has it ever happened to you that you go into work the next day and it's like, oh, hey Maura, remember that thing we did last night? It was great fun. And then other people are like, oh, you two are friends and yeah. I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not in the group.
That happens with work friends, though. You get close to certain, you know, people in work, like, and then everyone else kind of, and two of them getting on.
Yeah.
Why does nobody like me? That can happen. You were talking about GA friends, Johnny, as well. That's a whole different bond than actual friends, like. You know, a GA, you die for a fella you're playing with in GA or something, like, you know, in a team sport. You have that special bond.
even if you can't stand him.
Yeah, that happens a lot. Like, you know, you'll see lads like standing in for each other on the field and stuff like. And like in personal life, they wouldn't talk to each other. Like, they don't even like each other.
He's a prick, but sure, he's one of our lads.
Yeah, yeah, he's a prick, but he's my prick.
Can I ask you a question? Because just you say, do you think it's possible to, like, everybody has their childhood friends, but do you think it's possible to get, like, new close friends as you get older?
Yeah.
100%.
For sure. For me, like sure, I wouldn't have grown up with Johnny, like. Mm. And a lot of my best friends now are from Care, like, where I'm living now. Mm. And
you were technically an adult moving to Care.
Yeah. I was, yeah.
Thank you, Maura, for getting that.
Well, I was 20, like. So basically still a child. But yeah, like, a lot of them are my best friends. And I wouldn't have it any other way. Like, yeah, I think you go through different stages. You go through kind of like your primary school friends. Mm. Then there's like your secondary school friends from first to third year. Yeah. Then in TY you discover who you actually are. And then you've got friends then for your leaving cert. Then you've got your college friends. Mm. And then I think you kind of get your real friends then.
Yeah.
After college, really.
Yeah.
Right around that age. That's what I think. What about you, John?
Yeah, okay. But in terms of making new friends, it depends on how your situation changes.
Yes.
We were talking about if you have a friend who's trying to do something unusual, say, very different to you, how to maintain a friendship in that. Just say one of your mates now gets on the county minor team or is playing like under 20 rugby for Leinster or wants to be a doctor or a rock star or something unusual and either like dedicating themselves to that. Mm. They're going to probably find themselves hanging out with other people in the same situation.
Yeah.
And then it can be tough if you're like, well, lad, you're coming out the weekend. And they're like, oh, no, sure, I'm training tomorrow morning or I'm studying or whatever.
Yeah, the friendship kind of drifts. Like,
yeah. Mm. But you have to try and make an effort. I have to understand what they're trying to do. Mm. And then they should say, like, well, sure, look, let's go to the gym together or let's go for a cup of coffee there, like, because I'm not in the drink.
I think that comes with maturity as well, is understanding. Like,
yeah, whenever you mature, you'll...
When I turn into an adult, I'll probably get the hang of it. But, you know, as Johnny said there, if your friend's trying to do something, you should be like encouraging them. Rather, whereas like if you're 17, 18 and your friend is like, you know, going through a change like that, you're probably like, he's a fucker. Like, look at him trying to be a doctor.
Prick.
A prick. Like, he won't hang out with us anymore. Yeah. Whereas when you're an adult, I think you realise that more. Mm. But I mean, the differences between girls and boys in friendships, I think is remarkable. When fellas fall out, tends to be like crash, bang, wallop, fist fight job like. Like, I've had physical fights with two or three at least of my friends, like proper rows. And with fellas, it's kind of like, oh, sorry about last night. Yeah, no bother, lad. Like, you gave me 8 stitches, but we're still friends. Like. And then girls is worse. There's no physical altercation. It's kind of like, I'll spread a load of rumors about you now. Mm. And like, it can get, I think that's actually worse. It gets pretty catty fairly fast.
Yeah.
And it can get nasty, you know, with whatever online or whatever. And girls, it's just a little bit more messier. And fellas, I think, are a little bit more straightforward. When they fall out big style, but it's taken care of very quickly. Do you have any fallouts with any of your friends, John?
You have scraps and that, but you get over it.
Scraps.
You have an old scrap, like, and then you get over it.
Yeah. I don't know if I've ever fallen out with anybody. Like, I think certain friendships have become toxic and you just kind of stop, you know, messaging that person or, you know, like, suddenly you're like, oh, I'm not free that night, you know, and you just let that drift, like. But yeah, I don't know. I see your point about the girls' friendships being bitchy about, because that does happen. Like, yeah, you'd be saying stuff about the other behind. Right? Did you hear what she did? And and then but you try not to be like that as well. So
girls like to gossip a bit more.
God,
yeah,
I think lads do a bit as well, but like they just kind of forget about it quicker.
Yeah, I don't know if it's called gossip with fellas. It's kind of like more
giving out,
banter, slagging / giving out. Yeah, you cut the back off someone.
The other lad's not here. Yeah, did you see what he was at last week? Some prick. Yeah. Here he is now. Well, lad, it's the crack. Yeah. We're getting on. Just on situations changing and what you're saying, Maura, in that if you go into a pub and there's 4 farmers sitting on the table, there's a good chance they're talking about farming. Mm.
Okay.
So if you take the likes, I did my apprenticeship on the buildings, like, and you're probably hanging around with other lads. Talk, Jesus, I was on site there during the week, lad. I worked fucking 900 hours there last week, like, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
Whereas now, we really enjoy, like, if I meet somebody, say, who's a musician or working in film or, you know, and even, we start having more in common with different people because our situation has changed.
Yeah.
So not that we'd be famous, but you start to understand why, like, famous people hang around together and marry other famous people, because they kind of get each other.
Yeah.
Probably got a lot in common in that regard. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Because I know definitely, because if you start talking about what's going on in your life, and it's you to your friend who's doing 40 hours a week in the council, like, your friend is like, Jesus, that big-headed so-and-so is telling me how great his life is. And you're like, no, I'm just trying to explain what my work is, and this is what I'm worried about. And then your friend thinks you're an awful...
Yeah, sometimes... Yeah, now that you say that, now I'm kind of thinking, like, fuck, the boys must think I'm a tosser.
Yeah, they probably do.
But but like, sometimes I'm excited about something, like, you know, so, like, you know, the boys say, oh, well, any crack. I'm like, oh, like, you know, the Whelan's gig sold out, they're probably like, yeah, you can't be seeing it everywhere. Like.
Shut up about that.
But, like, you know, that'd be no different than them saying, like, oh, the shit week in work, or, you know, blah, 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 this happened to me.
I got a promotion. Yeah. And now I'm, like, assistant to
To the regional manager.
To the regional manager. Yeah, I get that. I suppose the big challenge I think friendships, a lot of friendships face is, like, as Johnny said, situations changing and people changing at different pace. So, you know, if you've got that friend who still wants to drink a Naggin in a car park before you go out on a Saturday night, like, you know, I'm not really into that anymore. I'm like 27, so people, like, I think that way you can friendships wane a bit. Like, I've seen that anyway myself, like, where people kind of mature differently, and then other people mature faster. So you're kind of like, you've got a buddy who's married and he's got kids, and you're like, lad, you coming out there Saturday night? And he's like, nah, man, sure. Like, do you know what I mean? I have a kid.
Yeah.
You're like, what?
I'm in a WhatsApp group with three friends who live abroad, and the two of them have families, and one of the lads messaged the WhatsApp group, got a new back door in, and it was a picture of his new back door, and I was like ready to just to jump on him and abuse him, like, why the hell are you saying? And then, like, the other friend who has kids as well was like, oh, really nice job, mate. Well done. I just, like, children change people.
Is this what we've become?
Yeah.
Joinery? Yeah.
I've got a new back door. I thought that was innuendo there. So yeah. I thought you were going
to
be like...
If you have mates who have kids, like, I make an effort a small bit when I have time to call out to those lads, because they can't bring all the kids into me or whatever. Like, yeah. So, but you go and it's like, well, lad, here, you know, I was dancing on the table in this nightclub, and he's there, like, with the child, daddy, daddy, daddy. And you're like, hey, don't mind the child. Well, I tell you about this fella I headbutted, like. You know what I mean? It's like, your scenario's totally changed. So.
Yeah. And then you're like, they look at you when you start talking, if you accidentally swear, and they're like, you just swore in front of my child. It's like, they're 2 years old. They're not going to know.
Yeah.
And then suddenly the child just...
Sebastian earmuffs. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Oisín.
Yeah. But I think you got to make an effort, as Johnny said, with friendships like that. Like, you know, they're still your friends, regardless of, like, you know, if their situation's changed. So you got to, if that means meeting up for tea or whatever, or calling out. Like, I moved away from Roscrea, but I still have some of my best friends are back home in Roscrea. And it's, even if it's only a phone call a week, if I can only see them once every 2 months, whatever, like, once you're kind of in some form of contact with him, like, as soon as, say my friend Chris now from Roscrea, I might only see him once every 2 months, but as soon as I meet him, it's back to, like, normal. It's there's no bother. Whereas, like, if you let that wane over time and you're not in contact, that you kind of meet each other and you're like, it just gets awkward, like. So I would definitely say make the effort, as Johnny said, even if it means calling out to him, ringing him. I think WhatsApp is the bridge there, isn't it, though? WhatsApp is the best way for, like, friends to keep in touch, because if you haven't spoke to a fella in a couple of weeks and you're like, if I ring him now, it's going to be a bit awkward, I haven't talked. Then he sends in a funny meme.
Yeah.
Bang, you're just back into... Yeah, do you know what I mean? You're back into the banter's going in, and I think WhatsApp is a great invention. I'd say that saves Manny's friendship. Like, I guess we're all, the three of us here are all in WhatsApp groups, like, you know, with your friends and stuff like that. It can have its downfalls as well, like, you know what I mean? Some things that save to my camera roll, it's dangerous, you know?
Do you ever go to, like, show your mom a photo, and then there's that, like, meme of Black Lad, he's got a big elephant's trunk hanging out of him. It's like, so that wasn't what I intended to show you, ma, but it's, you know, Fitzy put that in the group, so.
That's getting edited anyway, for sure.
What, that's the meme that goes in every WhatsApp group, that one thing of, like.
No, it's the... There's one WhatsApp group there, and it's always that sex noise. You know, that, like, you're watching. Yeah.
You didn't see that video during the week. Sorry, I'm going off topic now, but it's a BBC news reporter.
Yeah.
And she's, like, live outside Westminster, and there's a load of lads in the van with speakers, and they just keep playing that really loud. And it's live on BBC. There's nothing they can do.
Oh, there's some heroes.
Just thought that was great. So, lads, be careful in WhatsApp groups.
But it does keep things ticking over.
100%.
I love WhatsApp groups. I have set up so many WhatsApp groups. I keep setting them up because it's so handy.
I'm in, like, six WhatsApp groups with you alone, like.
Yeah, but when we start working with, like, a new company or something, they seem to have maybe my numbers on the website, whatever. They have me as the point of contact. And then I have to like ring smacks about Everton. So we just, we're in like 10 work WhatsApp groups. And then there's a GA one, you know. And then there's a GA one that the managers aren't in, you know.
Yeah,
just for when are we going drinking?
It's the cast and crew.
Yeah, all the boys from our videos. That one's fairly raw.
Yeah. That can get crazy at times. I mean, Johnny, our friendship, the two Johnnies, we couldn't talk about friendships without talking about our own friendship.
We are good work colleagues, yeah.
You're fucking pouring your heart out to me there about our brilliant friendship.
But our friendship is unique in that I don't think any two people in the world spend as much time together as we do.
Yeah, and like still like each other.
Yeah.
Some crack though.
It is some crack.
That's the bit people don't realise, like, it's some crack.
Yeah, like I think the reason our friendship works like on both a personal and as professional level is like we're very honest with each other, like.
Yeah.
Brutally honest probably at times, like. But you know, if I have something to say to him or if he has something to say to me, we just say it and we get on with it and we don't take it personally, because especially when you're working together, you know, if I'm not doing something right, Johnny will say it and vice versa, like, and you just go, yeah, okay, that's fair enough, like. You know, you kind of leave your egos at the door, like, if
ego's the one, because when we started, we'd be doing a lot of sketches, and you wouldn't bring a sketch to the table unless it was, like, finished, because you'd be afraid that it would sound crazy or shit. So if you look at our early sketches, I think some of them are very much, Johnny B wrote that one, Johnny Smacks wrote that one. Whereas now, we're good and feel comfortable in that, I can say, I want to do a sketch with a dog. maybe he plays tennis. You know, and Smacks is like, okay, go on. I don't get it, but go on. And we'll flesh it out.
Yeah. Get your head around this, right?
Yeah.
Africa. Do you know what I mean? It's just crazy stuff, like. But we eventually get there. Yeah, we work it out.
Yeah, so.
It's a very honest friendship first, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because I actually think that's a really, that's the key thing to a good friendship for me, is that you can communicate. Like, because if it gets to the point where your friend is going on about something and you don't want to say something to them, like when they're really annoying you, but you're like, God, if I say to them about that thing now, they're going to think, you know, I'm a bitch, like, bullshit. And you're just like, I don't want to be in that person's company. And then that friendship just goes wrong. Like, so.
Yeah, I think people appreciate honesty though as well, don't they? You got to, like. Some people.
It depends how you deliver it. Maybe I'm blunt at times, so I don't know.
You're quite similar to Johnny. Yeah. In that he's brutally blunt at times. Yeah. Almost to the point of, like, you would say ignorance at times, like. There's times like we'd be in meetings, like, and they'd be pretty important meetings, like, and I'd look at him and I could tell, like, he's gone past the point of hunger, so everything's agitating him, like, you know.
Oh, because I get hungry really quickly.
Yeah,
I keep eating.
Comes on him like so quick. It's like the Snickers ad, like, genuinely turns into a raging psychopath, and someone's like nattering on, and then he's just like, yeah, right, okay, what? You know, I'd be like, what? I'd just be like, do you want to head on there? Like, somebody, I'll finish up this here if you want. Before you knock that person out sitting opposite us at the table. But I admire that as well. Our relationship, I'd say, reliable?
Yeah. If something has to be done, just ring each other. And if we say we'll do it, we'll do it. Like, no matter what it is.
Yeah, yeah. Apart from timekeeping. Which is fucking horrendous.
My timekeeping, it wouldn't be the best now.
Yeah.
Would you say you love each other?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the man love here.
Yeah,
like.
It's absolute man
get
love.
Get a room.
Yeah, you thought you were going to catch us out there.
We don't care. We're honest men here.
No, because I was watching Superbad, and just, you know, the bit at the end of the film where Jonah Hill and Michael Cera say, I love you. I love you too. We don't say that often enough. I just think that's a thing in male friendships. Like, you know, women would say it a lot quicker to a female friend. I love you so much.
In my group of friends, like, if we get drunk, you'd be like, I fucking love you, mate. Yeah, man, I love you too. Like, no, you're doing so well. It's like,
you hang out with saps. My group of friends are all giving each other dead arms.
You're still playing that game, like that game.
Oh, yeah, making the little
circle thing, putting on your leg, yeah.
Another important thing myself and Max do is take days off.
Yeah.
So we try and always have one day a week where we don't see each other at all. And this is good for space, but also for stories.
Yeah.
You got to imagine that everyone we meet who's fun and every night out, we're with each other. We've no stories to tell each other. So if I get a day off, I try and do something that Max would never do. Like, that's why I'd be like, climb a mountain, or I'd go away somewhere the other end of the country and just see something.
Leave the house, essentially.
Leave the house, yeah. So I come back with stories. That.
Just to sum up me and Johnny's personal friendship, is like, there's a big brother, little brother thing going on. And it's not age related, right? Because, like, you know, we're similar in age. Johnny's kind of the big brother. And then, would you say that more?
Yeah, I'd say you're helpless at times. A little bit of response. But then, there's times... No, in terms of...
That was a little harsh.
So back to Maura, you being maybe blunt at times.
I'm just saying you need a lot of reassurance at times.
Yeah, I'm vulnerable.
And Johnny B gives you that.
Yeah.
But then I think...
He does.
I think you keep Johnny B on the straight and narrow a lot of times as well. Because Johnny B can be wander off and be on a different planet at times. And you're like, here, you, come on, Kim.
Yeah. So. Is he Liam Gallagher?
Oh, which one's Liam, which one's Noel?
Yeah.
I need to think about that.
Connor Sketch just told me I was Liam Gallagher a lot. He said you were Noel, a bit more controlled.
Yeah, maybe. I'd kind of, I wouldn't say definitely, But yeah, I could see that being the mold,
I like getting Smacks to make phone calls to, like, difficult phone calls. Because when I started my own business, I had to do a lot of cold calling. So I have a thicker skin for it. And, like, if we're giving out jobs, like, you know, right, this week we've got all this shit to do, who's doing what? And I love making Johnny.
He knows I hate it as well. Like.
And then it'll be like 2 days have gone past. I'm like, well, drink that lad. I fucking forgot to drink him, yeah. It's like, I know he hates doing it.
So honestly, like, and I do this thing. I probably shouldn't say that. I do this thing, like, when I get nervous on the phone, like, and I, like, kind of put my hand on my pants. But it's like, you know, I'm not doing that in particular. It's kind of like, I'd be like, how are they? This is Johnny there from Two Johnnies. Oh, I fucking hate making phone calls. Yeah, I do. I do absolutely. I hate it. Like,
yeah.
And or else I say to Johnny, here, sure, we'll ring them together. Then I put on a loudspeaker and just go,
lean back,
run away from the phone. Like, just, I don't know what it is. I'm fairly awkward in that regard. Yeah, but
you're getting better though.
Yeah, we're getting better.
But that's because you and your friends really shouldn't have much competition between each other.
Yeah.
Mm.
You know, you can't be too. Like, we'd never be like, I came up with that bit.
Yeah.
I wrote that or that. And the same with a group of friends, you should really want the best for each other.
Yeah, 100%. I want the best for all my friends. Like, do you know what I mean? Regardless of what walk of life they're doing or what they're working at and stuff like that. Like, and if there was that and you could do to help them, you would like
that. You get it a little bit off people. We do. Like, when we started kicking on a small bit, sometimes people are like...
Yeah, 100%. Like, when I left my job, one of my friends was like, man, you're a fool. Like, oh, you don't get it. Like,
I know, but people always, if they can't imagine themselves doing something, they can't see how you can do something, you know.
Yeah.
And it's the biggest self-destruct thing to do, compare yourself to somebody else as well. So.
Yeah, 100%. It was gas. Mm. Like, I went back into work where I used to work a few weeks ago, and one of the girls was saying to me, like, she's sound, and we have a great laugh. Like, and she was like, oh, to be honest, everybody here thought you'd be back after 3 weeks. So at the same time, yeah, I don't think any of my friends are jealous or anything like that of what we do. Like they are supportive now, they come to our gigs and stuff, and but yeah, probably at the start maybe there was, until they got used to what it was. But it's not the friends that are jealous, it's just other people in general.
Yeah, but like that, if your friend is trying to do something,
you should be encouraging them.
Like,
yeah,
I know there's always that thing of like, oh, you know, we don't want it to blow up in your face. But encourage your friends, and don't be if you're hoping that, if you're secretly hoping your friend will fail, you need to be having a real look at yourself in the mirror.
Yeah, exactly. That is 100% true.
I think you should view a win for your friend as a win for everybody. You know, if your friend wins something, Jesus, be a part of it, enjoy it, like, and celebrate it with them.
Exactly. Like, I'd love to be looking after my friends. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I like that. If you had a friend like who was, we're saying, I don't know, just like trying to play like sport at a high level or something, and they're like, I know, I won't just drink this weekend. Instead of you being like, ah, come on, you should be like, yeah, good man yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
When you win that Grand Slam, we'll all be there on the day, like, getting pissed and getting free tickets. Like, so think of the bigger picture. Bad friendships can get really nasty, I think, as well. Mar, you touched on it earlier on when you said, like, toxic relationships.
Yeah.
Just got to get rid of them, like.
It's harder though to get, like, so if you're in a toxic boyfriend girlfriend relationship, you just break up with that person. Whereas if it's a friendship, other people are friends with them, so like, it's like you have to kind of just slowly phase them out. It's awkward, but I think if somebody's just tearing strips off you the whole time, just for your own sake, just let it go, and don't beat yourself up over it either.
It can be done.
It certainly can be done. Yeah, that is 100% true. I think like people try and fit in them with friends that aren't actually their friends, you know, in that regard. And it's particularly in
What do you mean?
In young people, like. So I remember when I was in school, like, I was happy enough, I had my group of friends and we just kind of fell in with each other, like, nearly like the in-betweeners, like, you know.
Yeah.
We weren't trying to be the hard men who had their kind of group, like, you know what I mean? Or we weren't the intellectual type who had their group.
Well, yeah, I can see that.
We were just kind of the in-betweeners. I would say to anyone, like, don't be palling around with a group of friends if they don't suit you, you know what I mean? And you're trying to be something you're not to hang around with them, like, just, you'll find your own friends, like, you know, and your friends will find you, like, so.
Yeah, if you have to try really hard to fit in with a group, it probably ain't your group.
That's 100% true, Johnny.
Trying to be friends with your family. We were saying earlier about women, and I have a little theory now, this is shooting from the hip, that ladies are more social. If you take men, a lot of lads I know, say, are kind of doing something. If they're playing ga, or if they get a Saturday off. Mm. Like, how many lads go doing Nixers? How many lads are, like, playing golf or shooting or
doing something.
Whereas, like, in my experience, if like a lady gets a day off, she'd be like, I'll go for lunch with my sister. Mm. Whereas lads, I find, would be a lot more inclined to go, like, I'll
do anything except hang around with my family.
Yeah, like, I know a lot of lads who at the weekend, they'd be like, you know, tinkering with farm machinery, or they'd be like playing music, or they'd be doing something. Whereas a lot of girls, I find, will hang out together.
Yeah.
They're more social. They're more likely to ring each other. Like, I grew up in a house, my mum would always be on the phone with her sisters, like, oh, ringing for a chat. Like, well, you're not going to be, like, 40 years of age ringing your brother, you know, well, Tom, just ringing for a chat.
Yeah, he'd be like, who's dead? What's wrong?
Is everyone okay? Okay, good luck.
I think in families...
No?
No, I'm with you. I think in families, sisters are definitely closer than brothers. Like... Again, I don't want to revert back to it, but like, we probably all know brothers who've clattered heads off each other from time to time. As adults. I've seen it anyhow, for sure. And
that's Ross Gray.
No, but I mean, sisters kind of have that bond. I think they're closer, definitely, I would say. Like, a lot of girls I know, their sisters would probably be their best friends.
Yeah.
So my siblings would be probably my best friends. If I was going to say which of them would be closest to me, like... It'd be probably my youngest brother, but okay. It's just because I think we're similar in personality type and similar in humor. But I think it depends the age range. I think the closer you are in age to your siblings, the more likely you are to be friends. So, I'd say it'd be an awful thing if you had a brother or sister who was like a dose, and like, you know.
My little sister probably thinks that me. Oh, what a See, I can't really speak too much on that because I've only got one sister and she's only 13.
Mm.
I think she's 13 or 12.
Good brother.
Yeah, good brother.
But she can't come out to the pub with us or not.
Man. Yeah, yeah. Thankfully. This might be outrageous to say, but I would definitely say in 90% of families, not all siblings talk.
Yeah.
Would I be right in saying that?
Yeah. Oh, don't get me wrong. Like, it's not all Walt and family. Okay.
You don't all love each other.
No.
Good night, Maura.
If there's something that my brother doesn't like on the late, I get a lovely WhatsApp message from him saying, and it's just like, thanks, Larry. That's, you know, appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you for your, I'll filter that back to the right channels. Like, you know.
I think that's a big thing, like, that can divide families is the whole not talking thing and stuff like that. You hear it all the time, but.
That's why all the families need WhatsApp groups.
Yeah, get your family a WhatsApp group.
Yeah, top tip of the week. Get a WhatsApp group and post memes about stuff the whole family can enjoy.
Needless stuff, yeah.
Yeah, you can communicate entirely with memes for months on end. And then when you meet people, it's fine. And to try and stay together, lads, right?
That's the big thing to take from this, lads. Be nice to your friends. And if there's one thing you need in life, it's friends. Yes. That's a fact.
No man is an island.
And chicken.
Goujons. It's time to sit down and strap in. He gave the Christian Brothers hell when he was a boy, and now he gives us hell. It's time for Noel Furlong, and it's time for Noel's News.
Noel's News. It's Noel's News. I'm young for that.
Well, Noel, it's good to have you back.
Lucky to get here.
Yeah, why?
In the weather.
Bad, is it?
The weather is harsh.
Have you the thermal vest on?
I have.
Yeah.
I have my Sunday vest on. It's only for mass in town. Rest of the week, I have my normal vest on. I haven't washed it in 8 years. Bulletproof now. Yeah, the weather is harsh on the old people.
Yeah.
And the young people don't be thinking about the weather.
No.
You know? Okay? Yeah. Enough of your guff now. First new story of the week. In China, they're going to have robots reading the news.
Whoa.
That's a fact. Did you hear this?
I did, yeah.
No. You didn't hear it?
No.
No. Well, they've turned into Dandy.
The Dandy.
Or the Beano. You wouldn't hear about it. So there's a Chinese news agency, Xinghao, and they've teamed up with Paddy Flannery Ironworks. No, they've teamed up with the technological giant Sogou, and they have what they call AI. Now, that's nothing to do with shoving your hand up a cow's hoop, which I got that mixed up last time AI came up. That's artificial insemination. This is artificial intelligence. Okay? So, is that like when they give women big knockers and they have artificial implants?
Boobs.
Similar technology. I seen a pair of them in Dublin once.
Did you?
Oh, mother of God. Huh? What the nipples? Oh, that they were sticking out. It was like the head of a chisel. Huh? You could squeeze an orange over it. But each to their own. I never had a sup out of it, I don't know. But China, they have technology that this artificial man or woman will be on your telly reading the news. Well, not obviously not your telly, you only watch Smart. But they'll be reading the news. And they can read it out and they'll sound and look just like a human. Isn't that unreal?
Wow.
So robots reading the news. Huh? Should we have Pat Kenny for years? So, one reporter said about the AI, it's quite difficult to watch for more than a few minutes. It's very flat, single-paced, no rhythm or emphasis. You know, so again, like Pat Kenny. So they won't have to pay the robot. There'll be no overtime. There'll be no fag breaks. But you'd have the one face on the telly all the time. Be like RT.
Careful, Noel. Careful.
So anyway, the robot will say whatever you tell him to say. Like Smacks. So any kind of bad news that the Chinese government want to get out, you know what I mean? Like, the price of drink is going up. Price of fags is going up. You know what I mean? Get the robot to tell him. So, I'm after having my nose notes here. So there's a computer program, right? And they're wondering, could a computer program take your job? So if they invent one that can act a fool on Facebook, you will be in big trouble. God, I wonder, will they get like a robot or a hologram to say mass when all the priests are gone?
Maybe.
Huh? Imagine saying your confession to a robot. Sure, you can be telling them all sorts, huh? I remember one time I was in confession and I said, "Forgive me, Father, I rode a woman from Cashel." And he said, "Well, it was better than walking."
Oh, lad.
So, now, second story of the week.
Maureen is in. She enjoyed that one.
Enjoyed that one. Right. The terrible shooting brought in America during the week, right? There was shooting at a country music gathering. Now, like, I wouldn't listen to Derek Ryan in a fit. But, I mean, no point, like, you can't be shooting people.
No.
Like, not when a good hiding would do the job. Now, come on, you have to wonder about the Americans and guns, like. They have it in the Constitution, you know, the right to bear arms. But, like, that's 100 years ago when they thought the Brits were going to invade and the farmers were allowed to have a rifle, like. You know what I mean? Nothing fucking Snoopy Dog going, going around gangbanging like. That's not what they intended at all. So, I have a stat here. 70% of Republicans, have they Republicans in America?
Yes.
She'd be more in the line, come home to Ireland. They couldn't leave America alone. What they're doing out there? So, 70% of Republicans said they wanted teachers to have guns in school. Did you hear this?
Jesus.
Isn't that unreal?
Crazy.
Like, we had a Christian brother teaching us. I fucking hate to see him with a gun. Huh? I once saw him kill a man with a ruler. Brother Byrne. Oh, lad. You're a fucking tough man out here. That was the fella who broke me hand with a crucifix. Remember? Fucking 19 years I heard senior. And I never caught a ball after that. Not since that day in school, yeah. And this guy's, I met him years afterwards then. We great crack reminiscing. Oh, I just be some crack now myself from Brother Byrne. I was like, do you remember the day Dinny was late for school and you kicked the shit of him? Then there was another day Dinny was scribbling on his book and Brother Byrne threatened to cut all his fingers off. Snip, snip, Dinny. He should be saying to Dinny, I swear to God. And then I said, Brother, do you remember the time Dermot forgot to do his sums and you fucked him out the window? I just guess. I know. She forgot we were on the third floor. Yeah. I'd tell Dermot's mother he got a kick of a horse. And how did he break both legs, says Mrs. Sullivan. I said, I don't know. So, our brother Byrne, he'd some arm on him now. He nearly took out Pat Donegan's eye with a piece of chalk. That's a fact. Well, he was deadly. Well, he could have gone to the Olympics. I mean, the bishop wouldn't let him. Fucking, he remembers it very differently to us, though. I guess. And you know what, guess? After the last time I met him, I was lucky, because he died that very night.
Go away.
Yeah. Yeah. Crashed the car.
Coincidence,
then. He crashed the car.
Shitty man.
Well, some people, he was fond of the brandy. Mm. And some people say he must have had too much brandy and lost control going home.
Wow.
Other people say someone cut the cable on his brakes. Snip, snip, Brother Byrne. So I'll tell you, thank God the teachers didn't have guns back in my day. Now, I have some statistics here for you. 75% of people who get shot in America are shot with handguns, not with rifles at all. And you can buy a handgun for like $100-$200. So no wonder lads have 5 and 6 of them. It's just fucking just for nothing. Jesus. $200 wouldn't get you a hairdo. So I have it here now. The countries in the world where civilians own guns. In America, they're way up top of the charts, right? There's nearly fucking 90 people out of every 100 in America own some sort of a gun. Isn't that unreal?
Wow.
That's a fact. And do you know who's fucking second? Yemen.
Yemen.
I didn't even know that was a country. So, the likes of them. But see, they have military service, like Switzerland and Austria and Finland and all them lads. That's why they have guns, because you have to join the army when you come out of school. Okay. They fucking do you no harm.
It's a bit late now.
Well, sure, when are you finishing school?
Oh.
What age are you now?
27.
Huh?
Yeah.
You're 27?
Yeah.
Have you a farm?
No.
Huh? Have you a wife?
No.
Mother of God. Huh? Well, one of these days you'll get some poor girl down the aisle and you'll make her very unhappy. So the guns in America, 64% of all people killed in America is guns, right? And in England, that's only 4%. So the rest of in England must just die of crumpets and shy talk. Imagine listening to Boris Johnson. That man, he's the worst personality in Europe. And as you can imagine, he's up against some fairly fucking stiff competition now. So they say they need guns for protection in America. But lads, the very sad fact of it is, 2/3 of all people who die from guns in America is suicide.
Wow.
That is unfortunately a fact. And then they say they need guns for protection, but people who die from someone breaking into your house, 0.4%. And of them, half of them is the intruder taking the gun off them. That's a scandal. Jeez. So there's no need for all the guns. And unfortunately, that's a fact. And they won't allow the control, gun control in at all. Like in America, I'd be saying, hey lads, you see that lad asleep in the wheelie bin with a tinfoil hat and his breakfast was Jim Beam and gravel. Would you mind not selling him a gun? I know it might impede on his human rights, but I'd really appreciate it if that man didn't own an assault rifle. Okay, so if Trump is listening, I know Melania listens.
Oh,
so if he was listening, I'd appreciate that. Okay, now last week you remember my local news?
Yes.
What was it?
It was your open letter to the county board.
Yes. Now, Maureen said you got no news last week.
No, sorry, no.
Well, we got disqualified from the South Championship.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
And I wrote a letter to the county board.
Did you get a response?
Well, it's funny you should ask that. I'd advise you go back and listen to last week now when you get a chance. But here's my letter from the county board. Mr. Furlong, they knew it was me. We have received your letter in response to your appeal to have your club reinstated into the South Junior B Hurling Championship. There are some issues we must bring to light, including your repeated acts of misconduct, the wing mirrors kicked off referee Hennessy's car. That was never proven, actually, no. Failing to pay your club membership since 1984. Since taking over management of your club's Junior B team 4 months ago, you have personally been sent from the sideline in every match by the officials, including having to be escorted by the local sergeant in the Knock of Villa match. The fact that you were pepper sprayed is regrettable. But you should not have headbutted the window of the squad car. The members of the armed response unit you assaulted are currently receiving counselling. They very nearly shot you, Noel. It is the last time that Knock of Villa will play ye in a challenge match. Also, before introducing Frankie the Boot Lonergan at halftime in the South Final, you were clearly heard instructing the Boot to catch that Rovers midfielder and snap him like a Kit Kat. When the Boot pulled across the Rovers player's hand, you were heard whooping and yahooing at the Rovers fans, as well as shouting, "You're not so hard now," and stating that his wife would be opening his bottles from now on. Your unsportsmanlike behaviour and threats of stalking from house to house of the county board members is not what the GAA is about. You supplied, I don't know where they're getting all this out here. You supplied false team sheets to the officials for the South Final in question, and it is widely believed that you had several illegal players on the field, including 6 members of your club's intermediate team. That actually is true, in all fairness. 2 unregistered players. And we are fairly sure that the man playing corner forward was Pat Fox. Pat Fox, the 1991 All-Star Hurler of the Year, is from Anacarty, and long retired. He is most definitely not eligible to play for your club. If you continue to treat the South Championship as your personal hobby horse, we will be forced to suspend you from all GAA action. We will not be reinstating your team into the championship. Please stop writing to us. Sincerely, County Board, and is then signed by the officers of the board. I thought that went well. I may as well appeal it anyway.
So you're out of the championship now?
I'd say I'm in with a good shout. I'd say I'll get back in.
I'd say you're deluded.
No, I said they didn't, like, they didn't say never on that now. You know what I mean? I'd appeal it anyway.
They said, please stop writing to us.
I'm not sure everyone says that. Sure, Mary O'Rourke said that to me as well. Lad, it's not easy to win medals.
No.
And we nearly had one. We nearly had a South medal. And like the fact that they're going to give it to Rovers, I'd rather they gave it to Al-Qaeda.
Oh my God.
Okay.
So
I need to plan my next move now.
Brilliant.
And I'll keep you updated.
Do, please.
No, I'm a square. I need to take a shit.
Come on, no. Okay, that was Noel's news. Okay, this is the return of Mara's mystery topic. Leanne Fogarty on Twitter said, when Mara's back, I need update on how's Tinder. Will she ever meet a man that will give her a heap of kids she wants? What's her mystery topic this week? Like, I need to know. Mara, put Leanne over misery. What is your mystery topic this week?
Sure, we'll do an L Tinder update, will we?
Yes. The Tinder Chronicles are back.
Well, I've deleted the Tinder app.
What?
Hey.
Bam, bam, bam.
Hey, do you know what it is, right? And Tinder works really well and I really enjoyed it. But I just got sick of looking at a screen. You know, I spend my life looking at a computer screen. I spend my life looking at the phone. So I was just like, do you know what? I'm going to get out into the world and try and actually meet humans and not be messaging or back, like, shite talking back over on, like, oh, what do you do? Oh, that's really interesting. And it goes nowhere. Just, I'm not going to do that.
You've joined Mokra.
I was thinking about it.
Okay.
But I've done something else and said, I joined a cycling club. Oh. Every lad in the country is out on his bicycle on a Saturday and Sunday. Well, so
you'll get a ride there, yeah? Hey!
Yeah. So my plan is to go cycling, right? And I want suggestions from ye as to where else is good to meet people. Like, and meet nice lads.
Can I say, I hope the members of your cycling club are listening.
Some fella now will have tighter lycra than normal on next weekend. A cycling club. Are they not pretty old lads?
Not that old. They're in their 30s, like.
All right. No. Yeah, no. It's just a cycling club around here. Like,
I'm not look after a pensioner.
They're rich.
We've never cycled, so we don't know.
We done a charity cycle once. All right. Johnny refused to buy bicycle shorts and done the whole thing in a skinny O'Neill's tracksuit. But by the by. So where's good to meet men?
Well, like, is there good? What are the pubs in Dublin which men socialize?
Okay.
Well, outside
of the pub is a whole category to itself.
Yeah.
So you've ticked a good one. You've joined a sporting club. Because you're into your fitness and that. So it's good to meet somebody with a similar interest, maybe.
Mm.
Like, I suppose look at what you're into.
Yeah.
And see if there's clubs you can join.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to be, like, faking it. Like, you know, join some, like... fucking
pottery.
Yeah. Join some Shakespearean society or a book club about shit you hate, like, and then meet a great guy and then he's always like, oh, what did you make of the book? And you're like, yeah,
I just, I was faking it.
Yeah.
I just like your face.
Never fake it more.
Johnny will probably set you up there in a load of he'll have a load of obscure hill hiking societies or some shit like that. I'd say, like, go to, like, you're probably looking for a country fella, are you?
Somebody who would be happy to live out in the country. Doesn't necessarily have to be. I wouldn't live in a city long term.
I wouldn't look past Ryan's there on a Wednesday night when the old ag crowd are out. You bag yourself a farmer fairly handy, I'd say. Sure. That's a pretty good lookout. Coppers, like, you know, you're probably not going to find love in Coppers, but you'll find
probably STDs and a couple of other things maybe, but
yeah, I'm okay for that.
You're okay for that.
Or sound for that.
Yeah, the Cycling Society. That's interesting.
I think you lads are fairly stumped. I think we're going to have to throw this out to the podcast listeners.
Yeah, definitely. I'd say, boy, get back into GA.
The face is on you. You look like you're studying for the leaving cert here. You're just like,
Well, pubs can be, like, the energy is way up. So is there a social scenario where you can meet people? I'm not saying it doesn't have to be drink free. Having one or two would probably help.
What about speed then?
Yeah, if there's speed dating events, I will give it a go.
Oh my God, can we do that like as just a podcast experiment? Can you go speed dating?
Okay.
We look that up. We might all go.
Hey!
Just for a crack. Like.
Road trip.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It'd be like that film, you know, the 40-year-old virgin during the speed dating. Like, hey, the name's Gina.
You've got to find a scenario where you can socialize with people like speed dating, that you're gonna be talking to a whole different bunch of people,
yeah,
but without the pressure of if you like walk up to somebody in the pub, it's like, you know, chat up lines kind of. What scenario can you be in where you're actually talking to people and it's kind of easy going?
I can just sense a two Johnny singles night coming up somewhere. Well, untapped resource. I would say, Maura, if you talk about joining back the GA. So, you know, you're back with your ladies team, but there's a bigger umbrella then of the men's teams and stuff like that, and you've got socials and stuff like that.
A GAA social would be a good place to meet a lad.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because you know who's single at the GAA social. They'll be the lads linking arms at the table singing Wonderwall at like 8 o'clock at night when everyone else is just tucking into their starters and the wives are singing Mr. Brightside or something at 8 o'clock. They'll be the single lads.
Plus, I would say a lot of lads in their 20s and 30s.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'll give that a go. Good suggestion there. I might, in a couple of weeks, just because I'm trying to take a bit of a digital detox at the moment. Yes. I might try. There's another dating app called Bumble, so I would like to hear.
I was chatting to a fella who was on Bumble, and he loves it. He said it's way better than Tinder.
Well, what's the story with it?
If they match you first, they've got a right to you.
Yeah, the woman has to respond first. If a man matches with a girl, he has to wait. He can't message her until she messages him.
Yeah, and they've got to message you within 24 hours or it's gone.
Okay, so it cuts out some of the...
So at least you know if someone's messaging you, they genuinely have an interest. Like, they're not just talking.
Yeah.
And they've got to do it fairly quick, so it's impulse, yeah. Yeah. Seems interesting.
That seems interesting.
We could be onto the Bumble Chronicles. A whole new chapter of dating online. Yeah, Mar, that's what I would suggest. We might look into the speed dating though. You've got a crack. We might get something out of it.
Like, in the cycling club, is there actually much opportunity to talk to people?
I haven't gone out with the cycling club yet, so I don't
know. You've just joined it.
I just seen all these lovely men going by in bicycles. So I was like, that looks interesting.
But it'll be tougher on the woman because, like, you know, you can't have your hair all done up and you probably won't be looking your best on a bike, will you?
More, I'll be in a big frock.
Full makeup.
Full makeup, the hair done up, not.
No helmet for me.
I don't know. I'll be in my gym gear. Apparently, lads like
the gym gear. Yoga pants, yeah.
Great invention.
Yep. I would say, more, if you're joining that cycling club, don't be one of them people who cycle like four abreast.
We've had this conversation.
We've had this several times. Yeah, we want cycle bash here.
There's got to be more scenarios
for finding.
That's what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking, and I couldn't really think of any.
I don't know. The Irish. We're Irish. We rely so much on the pub setting.
We're over reliant on the pub.
100%.
Yeah.
Like, you know, in America, you could walk up to a girl in the shopping centre in the middle of the day and be like, hey, do you want to go on a date?
Yeah, and it would just be thought of as a coffee, whereas...
Oh, she'd call the guards on you.
Yeah! In Ireland, like, get away from me, you weirdo.
Yeah.
Whereas if you have 8 or 9 pints of Guinness in, you're like, you're looking lovely. They're like, ooh, yeah, here we go. What about a drama society or something?
Yeah.
Would you go into an old play or something?
Oh, you got to do a Strictly Come Dancing.
Yes.
Oh, you'll be goosing in no time.
100%.
We were having a little chat about this beforehand. Yeah, I don't know, the Strictly curse.
Yeah,
yeah.
But you're looking for a bit of curse now.
Yeah. You're like, bring on the curse.
Well, I'd like to know the curse is interested, you know.
But yeah, maybe something like that, a play or something like that.
Yeah, sure. Give it a go. We'll look into it. It's a nice suggestion. There we go.
We'll have an update in a couple of weeks. So yeah. We might do the speed dating. It'll be fair funny if you'd bring in the sheet and rate people that you went on a date with. There's a great idea. Mara.
That'd be cruel.
Is it cool but brilliant?
Lads, get in touch with us about that. That's very interesting.
Yeah, let us know where's a good place to meet another half, you know, to complete the jigsaw.
Yeah, we've got two categories. Outside of the pub and then pubs in Dublin or Meath where Mara is based.
There we go. All right, Mara, good to have you back. The mystery topic, as good as ever. Don't forget to rate, review and tell your friends about the Two Johnnies podcast and use the hashtag Two Johnnies Pod. That's the two number. Johnny's Pod to spread the good word of the gospel according to Johnny Bean, Johnny Smacks.
Smacks. Now, lads, very good interview. And if I was to say to you, this is a good interview, you'd be like, ah, go away.
But this is a good interview.
Yeah, we were surprised.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
Because let's call a spade, the Blizzards, Brezzy, like, because he's always on social media and stuff, you might have this opinion of him based on very little. You know what I mean? Like anyone that you see on TV, whatever.
Yeah.
But we've met Brezzy a couple times now. And I'll tell you one thing, lad. He's actually fair sound.
He is. He's absolutely sound. And he's great crack as well.
Yeah. And because before I met him, I was a bit wary of him. I was like, oh, I wonder what this lad is like now.
Yeah.
He's actually dead on and really very nice. Genuine guy now. Yeah. And I did my best to absolutely ruin him in this interview. And he took it well now.
He took it well.
Before we go on, to put the interview in context, the Blizzards have got a new bass player.
Yes.
And lads...
Yeah,
if she wasn't playing the bass, she could be a supermodel.
Yeah, 100%.
So that will just explain.
She's a lovely looking girl. And we're not trying to objectify women here or anything like that. Just having a bit of crack, okay? Just being cheeky.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't want any.
It was the first live podcast. We got carried away.
Yeah. We were hyped. We were stoked. So lads, here it is. The interview with the Blizzards live from the Sugar Club at our live podcast.
How are you, boys?
Lads, I'm just going to say the best thing you ever did was getting that new bass there. That was the best backing vocals I ever heard, lad. Here, you're back. Where the fuck were you for 8 years, lads?
It wasn't 8 years, to be fair. It was
seven and a half.
Seven and a half, yeah. It was five. Was it five?
Five and a half.
Where'd you go? What was going on?
I went. Where did I go?
I heard you were a hemp farmer in Leitrim.
There's no money in it, though, so I had to give it up. So I know, like we, do you know what we did? We weren't enjoying it. You know, you gotta love doing this. It's not something you can go up on stage and half arse do. Like you have to give it everything. You have to love it. Yeah. And then we kind of got to a place where like, Jesus, it feels like we're working. And we said, if that happens, then we step back until it doesn't feel like that.
Nobody likes working.
No.
Yeah.
You do fuck all of it. Anyways.
I had to get up at 7:30 this morning. I'm fucking raging. Trust me, lads, I thought about cancelling this fucking show. No one gets me up before 7:30.
You're enjoying being back?
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, we're loving it. Yeah, sure. We've got a hot bass player, so. Sorry, Louise.
The audition process must have been very tough to get around. So. A load of lads with long hair down to the middle of their back.
And lasted all of 3 seconds. You walk in, we're like, okay, not fine.
She's like, I don't play the bass. You're like, you'd be grand.
sorry. So boys, you're all heading off out to the Middle East doing a few shows. I didn't know you were big with the Arabs.
They don't know either, so they'll figure it out.
We are huge in the Middle East.
Yeah.
We are literally huge. We're going over to
the
Dubai in the morning.
20 foot 10, so we are
We are going to Dubai in the morning and Abu Dhabi, for 10 days. And it's like it sounds like fun, but it's 45 degrees. You can't do anything in 40. I know you fainted last time.
Yeah, I nearly died on the way home from Abu Dhabi. I probably advise like staying away from a pool bar for 4 days continuously and from
three
Corona.
3 days is okay, is it?
Three and a half is perfect. It was the last 6 hours, like. We sat in that pool bar and I tried to swim back. I thought it was the fucking Atlantic I was in. I was like, Johnny was like, it's only fucking 3 foot left. Then.
Yeah. But what else have you been up to? You're actually releasing a book, Brezzy, are you? A kid's book?
A kid's book, yeah. I wrote a kid's book a few months ago for the crack. I'm doing my master's in mindfulness, and I was just an area, especially with young kids. I've always been kind of wanted to write some books because I can see I have a nephew and I see how much joy they get out of books. I was like, oh, and it's not that hard to write. And I was like, I remember this. But you know the thing with the book? I kind of wrote this story. And I was like, ah, oh, that's kind of nice. It's grand. But then the girl, Sheena, who illustrates it, like, just turned it into something. I was like, holy shit, that's amazing. And the thing about it is like what I was doing was pretty easy. But when a good illustrator does it, so brought it to life, I was like, why not? Without, like, little simple mindfulness books for kids.
Finally, that's a book that Johnny B be able to read.
You will struggle, lad, to be honest.
This just says, look, breathe in, breathe out. Yeah. This is just, this...
Blizzards in massive capital letters.
Tie your shoe. It's just...
I wrote them questions for you, didn't I?
Got Brizzy and his illustrator in to write the questions.
I had to ask you about a tweet you put out recently, Brizzy, about the most exciting thing you had done was buying a new Dyson Hoover.
That wasn't it. It was an Instagrammed it. I didn't tweet it. It was. It's. it's
burn.
I wouldn't use Twitter for such. Like Dyson, have you anyone used one?
It's like,
but like we can generally.
No, it's a Dyson.
Since that's where life goes in your 30s. It becomes something that you actually look forward to cleaning. The reason I bought it was because we got a new cat in our house, and a cat is a murderous bastard. It basically every morning brings me in another dead pigeon, and he doesn't just bring the pigeon in and just, like, you know, he plays with it, so there's feathers everywhere. And I used to, like, I come in and I was like, oh, I can't be doing this. So I got the Dyson and I just used to just, I put the pigeon out and I buried the pigeon properly. It was for the feathers. But I realised if you wanted to use the Dyson to take up the pigeon, it can do that too.
You can do that?
Yeah.
As another pigeon found out.
Yeah. So I think that lad, that weird guy who threw the pigeon's head must have maybe been around a white guy. Did you see that thing the other day the guy, just, did you see that?
Yeah. He
just, I kind of was away, so I did, but some guy threw a pigeon's head at a group protester. They're like, what the, like,
that'll teach them
what's happening. But like, to be honest with you, I don't know the full context of it. But the fact that he had a pigeon's head in his pocket,
you never know,
is what kind of throws me a bit.
Okay, so look, what's next in the Blizzards? Is a new album coming out?
Yeah, new album coming out in February, I think. It was October, November, December.
Yeah,
now fucking kids book.
And I'm not going to say it.
Honestly.
We're like, yeah, we need a Brexit. Oh, no,
you better believe. There's no sign of the album. Yeah, we put everything in the album. Like, that's the one of the main reasons we decided we want to play again, is we want to do another album, a record. And especially at the moment, like, since that little weird 5 years, 7 years since we went away, the music industry's changed. Like, the album's becoming less and less relevant, which is not good. Because every artist that you listen to now, whether you like them or not, whatever genre, they're all influenced not by songs, by albums. Yeah. Albums are essential. Bodies of work are essential, no matter whether you're into it or not. And it's important with this kind of... streaming's really good because you get loads of music out there, loads of people get to watch stuff, and I think it's really interesting. But we cannot lose sight of the fact that a body of work is still what matters to an album, to a band, or an artist. It's easy to put out singles. It's a piece of piss. Yeah. You can, every now, but to put a body of work together. Yeah. That wasn't a dig.
We have five. Hey. Yeah.
You fucking download that nowadays.
We did it too, boys. We've been throwing out singles for the last 2 years. Go, what the fuck? Just let's make an album. Yeah. Decking 12 songs together. See what it sounds like.
And we're all going to buy it.
No one buys albums. That's the
honest. I'm too enthusiastic now. I'm going to be.
I might download it for free somewhere.
Yeah.
He's bringing back LimeWire.
Oh, Jesus. And you got a run of gigs coming up as well.
Yeah, we're doing a few gigs before Christmas. Mike the Pies and Stole is our first time there. It's a savage venue. Dolan's, Cypress Avenue, Crown Plaza, Crown Live in Wexford and Monroe's in Galway. So we're doing a few, and then we'll do a big tour in there's, is that right, Chief?
Your man's from Galway.
He only mentions Galway, and it's like,
shut the fucking pants. Where can people check out these gigs? Your website?
Well, they'd have to go to them.
In the venues that we're actually playing.
Venues, the venues.
Go to the gigs.
The general venue. Just go to the place where it says.
We might do a Facebook Live thing. You may be watching Facebook, whatever. Yeah, but yeah, generally go to them.
Look, just go and fucking look at it, right?
Google.
Do good enough to come on the fucking podcast. Go to the gig, right?
Alright, we do the quick fire.
Right, lads, before we finish up, we always ask any of our guests this quick fire round. So just answer whatever comes into your head.
Oh, fuck. This may not be good.
Oh, you haven't fucking seen the questions yet. The best service station in Ireland.
Enfield. The Enfield M41, yeah. Do you actually, do you know the way it's
Obama
two?
Plaza, to be this fair. Yeah. It's pretty impressive. It's impressive.
Yeah.
It's an impressive use of space.
Okay.
I fully agree.
I have a small story.
And I know the manager, and I was on holiday with him.
So. Yeah, there you go. Okay. Yeah. You were getting free fucking chicken.
And he's related to
there.
Obama.
Okay, go on. So, next.
Wooden floor or carpet?
Wooden floor.
Carpet.
Oh. Yeah, fucking owner, they stood up, lads.
But you know what? Do you know what? Since my cat keeps bringing wooden in 10 pigeons, and the wooden floor is definitely a better
wooden
option.
Floor.
Yeah.
Tour bus or hotel rooms?
We've never had a tour bus.
Yeah.
We have a transit van.
We share one hotel room.
Are you going on tour? If you tour? No, we don't. We're like, you know, and you're not these band, obviously the big bands. Like
we have a tour van.
We have a tour van. Yeah, it's a gorgeous van, but it's not.
We just have a Nissan Micra. A loop de loop or a tangle twister?
Tangle twister.
Dermot or Dave?
Well, it depends. Once again, context.
One night only.
Oh, Dave. Oh,
Dave, okay.
Dave, Dermot. Dermot is a... Dermot's a different...
animal.
Like you chat... You get amazing, lad. I love those two boys.
This is
the
quickest
company.
Fire away.
Yeah.
And that was the shittest answer I could give you.
Roller coaster or water slide?
The boys went.
You won't go on any of them.
I won't, because I get vertigo when I go on them. Yeah. Have you vertigo is the worst thing in the world. You puke everywhere. You just walk around puking all the time.
Water slide's like a roller coaster, except for its potential to drown.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, fucking Jesus.
No, can I just say, I really feel like you're not grasping the concept of a quick fire round.
And I think roller coasters are kind of
I've had better interviews.
Okay, look.
Okay.
In 1,000 words or less. Worst gig.
Worst gig.
Worst kid. I was like, that's fucking hard. I've only got two. I can't win.
We did a gig once. We did a gig and there was no one there. We don't know what the etiquette is if there's no one at your gig. I tell you, what should have been the greatest gig we ever did was the toughest gig for me, and that was supporting ACDC, because we weren't meant to be on that bill. And what happened was, Tin Izzy were meant to support, and the drummer broke his collarbone, and we got a call a week before going, do you want to play it? And I was like, no way. Because we're like a pop band. We're not getting up with a heap of metalers and getting absolutely torn apart, which we were told we would.
We got balloons of piss thrown at us.
Yeah, decorative stuff. So I remember saying to Tech, going on stage, I just said, don't take any gaps between the songs so they can't do us. And it was 70,000 ACDC fans, and we just kept playing, and like every song was we played one song that was like 28 minutes long. And we walked off stage, and I hadn't slept in a week. It was the most nerve-wracking thing I've ever done, and I just drove straight home, and I'll never forget how difficult.
Best gig I ever did, anyway. Well, I'm a big
you didn't have to talk. Like, I hadn't talking to them. Hey,
talk,
guys.
Just nobody listened. That was all.
They were just looking at us going.
Anyway, quick fire.
Yeah.
He said 1,000 words in amusement. Yeah, I have another 322.
Okay. Yeah. One more. Brezzy, Westmeath winning All-Ireland or Leinster winning Heineken Cup?
Would you come out? Like, Westmeath winning All-Ireland would definitely because Leinster have won 4 Heineken Cups. They don't need another one. We need something.
You need something. Who's the biggest act in Mullingar? Niall Horan or Joe Dolan?
Oh, Jesus.
Michael O'Leary is the biggest act in Mullingar. Michael O'Leary would be... when you really break it down, he's the boss.
He's the boss?
Yeah.
Okay, 3 people, dead or alive, you'd like to take for a night out?
Oh, nice. I can't think quickly about that. I'd be like Marilyn Monroe. Oh, everybody says her. Fuck that.
So you have one of them, you're
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I'll let Presley take that one.
I would like to go out with
Tech Murphy.
Cromwell.
Where would you take him?
I wouldn't. I'd take him somewhere and leave
Derek.
Him there. Yeah, and just go, this is my friend.
Yeah.
Oliver Cromwell, you should meet him. And then leave him there. No, Frank Sinatra, I'd love to go out on a night with Frank Sinatra. You said dead or alive, didn't you?
Yep.
Okay, cool. Frank Sinatra and Peter Andre.
Peter Andre, yeah.
Ladies and gents, on that note, the Blizzards! Hooray! All right, they have...
Yeah, go for it.
Seduction. You could stamp it on my forehead and I still wouldn't catch on. But why can't you see? Such a beautiful thing. You put on this voice like I had a choice. You know, you know.
True in the song for you there, lads. What a live version of Fantasy. I love that song, Johnny. Brings me back to the Gwail talks, man.
How do they do them harmonies, lad?
I don't know. I can't concentrate, man. When the two of us are singing at the same time, it's blowing my mind. So fair play to them. That was brilliant. We enjoyed having the Blizzards on. Now we're about to round off the podcast, as per usual, with our Yurts and Dirts of the Week. Yurt.
And.
Dirt.
My Dirt of the Week.
Yes.
Cristiano Ronaldo celebrating by showing off his abs.
Oh, lad.
What?
That's wicked, isn't it?
It was cash.
Yeah.
Like, we all know Ronaldo's in great shape. You know, he's like big presence on Instagram and all. Mm. Showing off his quads.
Yeah.
And his abs. He's an ultimate professional. You know, proud of you, Cristiano. That was a bit cash.
I'll tell you, if I was getting...
see that. So.
If I was getting 500 grand a week, I'd have fucking abs like that as well.
Yeah, but he was playing against his old team.
Yeah, just...
it's a bit weird.
Bit disrespect, yeah. Like... you know, I've seen people doing celebrations before where people are like, you know, people used to call Rooney fat and stuff like that, like, and he'd like, you know, do something like tense up or whatever, like taking the piss out of it, like, or something like that. I mean, who was it used to celebrate by eating a burger, letting on that they're eating a burger because people call him fat? Like, that's funny, but him flexing like that for no reason, it's just, it's appalling.
I think it's maybe a sign of is just trying to show off her aggression or something like that, you know, or intimidation. Because do you remember the sprinter Linford Christie?
Yeah,
I do.
He, when he was lining up for the 100 metres, he'd have his top down and be like flexed, all like they're trying to intimidate the other sprinters. So
do you think he's trying to intimidate the United players by showing off his physique?
Yeah, I would just be like, it's an ego thing. I'm better than you.
I tell you, you wouldn't do that in Junior B.
Yeah, but I was listening to the Tyson Fury podcast during the week with Joe Rogan, and he's very funny. He was like, he was talking about lads being in great shape or whatever, and he just goes, I've knocked out a lot of six packs.
It's a fair point. I tell you, if I was marking Ronaldo and I'd done that celebration, there'd be only one thing going through my head the next time he got the ball.
Doom,
yeah.
Mulch,
absolutely. It's a good one though, John.
I don't know what it says about him. He's one of those people like Trump now. I think he's just so big that like nothing will, nobody can land a blow on Ronaldo now. Like, he doesn't care what you say or do about him. So, that's, but it's fact. Just
yeah. There's other allegations about behavior, yeah, well, and he's by that. We're not going to go there. But, yeah, we won't.
Just, I was actually surprised.
Yeah,
because I know Ronaldo is like a bit of an arse, like, you know what I mean. He's just super famous, like. But I do respect him and all. But normally, when a soccer player pulls up their jersey, they've got a message there, like commemorating somebody who's died or something. And his is like, abs.
Abs. Here's my abs.
Here's my abs. I don't get it, Cristiano.
Crazy.
So, Cristiano, hit me up, man. Johnny B. Tipman on Snapchat.
I'm sure he'll be on to it. My dirt of the week is, I went visiting the other night. You know, I got in the car, went to visit a few people.
Oi, oi.
Got out of one person's house. I'm not going to say whose it was. Got out of the car and proceeded to walk into their new house. And then she was like, just step in that. No, I don't think so. And then I was like, oh, shit. So I looked down at me, Stan Smith's, and there was a big, massive lump of dog shit in the bottom of it. And not only, like, was it on my shoe, which was bad enough, I had walked across the yard, and you could see the footprints across the yard, and then into her brand new kitchen, brand new tiles, and all across that as well.
Do you not wipe your feet, lad?
No, because, like, I had only walked 10 steps across the yard, and, like, I knew they weren't dirty, because they're brand new shoes.
Okay.
So, oh, lad. Fucking grim. I made her clean it then. What? It was her dog. I was like, oh,
use your foot. Where, yeah, you put was, your foot.
She was like, I take off the shoes there. I was like, oh, grand. Took them off and just kind of like left them there. And then like when I came back, the shit was gone. So.
That's but, very interesting. It was her dog.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
How did you not see it?
It was dark.
Okay.
It was dark. And like I actually opened the door and I had to get something out of the boot. So it wasn't when, like, you know, you normally open the door and you have a bit of light, and I looked down, there was no shit there. So it was when I walked around to the boot, I stood in it. So that was my dirt of the week. It was bad, it was grim. You know?
You mean your dirt?
My dirt, literally. Yeah, my dirt. Okay, Johnny, your yurt.
When we were at the GEA conference hosting a couple of weeks ago, this lad came up to me and was like, hey, my brother broke his arm today. Will you do a little video? And I'm just saying, like, hey, hello, how's it going? You know, get well soon, blah, blah, blah. Having a crack with him.
My arse is in the video.
Your arse is in the video. And then...
Not like that. I was bending over doing something else at the time.
Okay.
His family then sent me a video of him watching the video for the first time. And his face. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It melts your heart.
It absolutely melts me. I couldn't believe it. Like, the effect that little video had on that young lad.
Yeah, because like a lot of times we get asked to do stuff like that, and you're like, yeah, you do it, and you don't even think about it, like, you know what I mean? But it was cool to see that now. That was last. You had it on Twitter.
Yeah, and then last night after the show, this lad was like, oh, hey, will you say hello to my son and do a little video? And your man was after a couple of jars now. And I had to do, I was like, hi, so hello, Donna. And he's in the background going, he's seven. Say hello to him, he's seven. And I'll just start again. So hi, Donna. And he'd lean in again going, he hurls for Clonakenny. I had to do the video about 10 times because your man was caught in the background. So there's two types of videos that we do for people.
My yurt of the week is Bohemian Rhapsody, the film. Have you seen it, Mar?
I have, yep.
Oh my God, it is unbelievable. Right up there with A Star Is Born for me now. I'd probably just have A Star Is Born ahead of it, but I thought it was unreal. It has me gone mad. Now, I liked Queen's music anyway, but I mean, I've been just had it on Spotify all week. Absolutely. Like, and if you don't know who Queen are, you must be living under a stone. So I would definitely recommend going to see that.
Do you have a top Queen track you'd like to recommend to people?
I'd probably recommend Radio Gaga live from Live Aid. So you'll get that on Spotify. It's actually, I would recommend the whole original soundtrack of the film.
I get it on YouTube, yeah.
Yeah, YouTube's probably better, yeah, the live at the original one. So I definitely recommend that. I was dancing around the kitchen with the top of the mic standby. Yeah, honestly.
I walked in on that.
You walked in on that the other day. It's weird, like, and then, like, you know what? The other day, like, I was, like, sitting down the kitchen table and I was listening. I had my Beats on. I was listening to, like, Bohemian Rhapsody, the piano part. And I was letting on to play the piano at the table. And I opened my eyes and neighbour was looking in the window. I say, he's like, yep. He's finally lost the plot. He's like, I just borrowed a wheelbarrow. I was like, yeah. Oh, shit. So, I'm getting blinds this week. That's my Earth of the Week. Lads, that sums up this week's podcast, all right? Hope you enjoyed it, Maura. He's glad to be back.
Yes.
Yeah. She missed us. She'll never tell us, but she did. All right, that's it for this week. From me, Johnny Smacks.
From me, Johnny B.
From me, Maura.
We'll be back next week, same time, same channel. Good luck.
Good luck.
It's lovely.
It's the Two Johnnies Podcast. The Two Johnnies Podcast.
Two Johnnies recording a podcast.